الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد
صلى الله محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الانجبين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرأ الى الله اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توبا وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
On this night, the night of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to help us to reduce the distance between us and him and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and never to separate us from him, from them, may that be in this world, barzakh or qiyamah. May he count us and our children, generations to come, among the best who ever existed, among the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. On the 13th of Rajab, when Fatima bint Asad, the mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen, has her labor pains, it is as such that she seeks refuge in Masjid al-Haram, and the instructions are that she comes towards the Kaaba. If you look back in history again, when Maryam is in the mosque and she has her pains, instructions are that she leave the mosque. Here, someone is born in the mosque and someone dies in the mosque. And this fadila, this virtue, this merit was never given to anyone, nor will ever be given to anyone. There, when the baby is born, Abu Talib alayhi salam, he says, Ya Rab, Ya Dal Ghasaq al-Duji, Wal Qamar al-Mubtalaj al-Mudhi, Bayyan lana min hukmika al-Maqdi, Mada tara fi ismi zassabi. Says that, O Lord of the dusk and the darkness indeed, the daybreak and the radiant moon indeed, show us your divine decree, what shall be named the infant indeed. He asks Allah for the name of the infant, and it so happens that a cloud descends towards him, he is scared, hugs the baby tight, holds on to Fatima, his wife, Fatima bint Asad, and there is a tablet which falls by his feet. And on it is engraved, خُسِّسْتُمَا بِالْوَلَدِ الزَّكِيِّ وَالطَّاهِرِ الْمُنْتَجَبِ الرَّبِيِّ فَإِسْمُهُ مِنْ شَامِخٍ عَلِيٍّ عَلِيٌّ اشْتُقَّ مِنَ الْعَلِيِّ. Says, you've been exceptionally favored and blessed with a son for sure. Chosen, exalted, indeed he's pure. His name too is from the lofty Ali. From Ali derives another Ali. That is, from Ali. Which is the existence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a senior Ali, a junior Ali is derived from there, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen. If you see the hadith that we have, there is a wonderful hadith which says that the paradise, it has a door. Now the door of a paradise, it's a formality, otherwise those who will be assigned the heaven, they just get in, walk in. Now these are just formalities that we find in says that the door of the paradise, it's huge, it has a golden plate on it. And the latch on that door, that is in the olden days when you used to knock the door, there wasn't a doorbell. They used to hit that latch and people used to find out who was in and they could come and open the door.
says that there is a huge big golden plate on the door of the paradise, and the latch of it, it's made of emeralds. And Mu'mineen, when they want to enter the paradise, they hit that plate with that latch, and the doorbell which sounds, it is Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. There is another hadith which you have heard quite a lot, and that is, a person comes to the Holy Prophet and says that Ya Rasulullah, you are named Abul Qasim. Why is that? In reply, he says that I had a son, Qasim, and the Arabs, they have this kunya, and based upon that, I am Abul Qasim, Qasim's father. And then this person says that if you find me eligible, give me some more information that why is it that you are Abul Qasim? And then he says, that is the Holy Prophet, says, you know that Ali, he is Qasim al-Nahr wal-Jannah. He is the distributor of the hell and the heaven. He says, yes. Says, I am Abul Qasim. I am more than him. So if he could be the distributor of the hell and the heaven, I've raised Ali. I'm as if his father. So I am Abul Qasim as well. Now to understand this hadith a little bit more, based upon the night that we are in, the night of the Imam hurt, wounded by that mal'oon la'natullah alayh, as a result of which we lose our Imam. Imam is wounded, soaked in his blood. Asbaq bin Mubata, among the companions and reporters, he says, I went to see the Imam. The whole city of Kufa was a chaos after Imam being hurt. The instructions of the Imam were that to his elder son, which is Imam Mujtaba, says that I want send everyone back home, because the whole city was a chaos and panic. They were just after Ibn Muljam to tear him to death. And Imam says, send everyone back home. If I live, I will see what to do with Ibn Muljam. And if I die, you Hassan, who are my successor, he hit me once, you will hit him once. He shot me once, a one blow, you also will give him one blow. If he dies with that one hit, well and good. And if he doesn't, let him go. Because that is the ruling. If a person is punished with i'dam, that is, if he is to be hanged for whatever sin he has committed in an Islamic state, that is the ruling in Islam, that if you hang that person and after being hung he doesn't die, it is not as such that you bring him down, you hang him once again. No, the ruling is you tried your best, he didn't die, it means that he will live freely like every other person. If a woman is to be stoned to death and she was stoned, she didn't die, the ruling is that she will be left free and she will live like every other person, and a sin also will be forgiven. Over here, Imam says, you will hit him once. If he dies, well and good. If he doesn't, he will live as a free person like every other one. So this announcement of Imam is spread out in Kufa. People are sent back. Asbaq bin Mubata is among the people who were there and he doesn't return. Imam Mujtaba says that, didn't you hear the call? He said, I did, but I want to stay and see Amir al-Mu'mineen a little bit more. And he says, okay. When he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, I was shocked to see him, that there was a yellow bandage which was tied onto his head because of that extensive bleeding. Says, I was amazed to see that yellow cloth. His face was more yellow than the cloth itself due to that intense toxin and poison that was spread into his body. And he says that once in a while I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen raise his feet, put them on the ground. And that is due to the pain which he was in. Imam says to him, Asbaq, didn't you hear what I said? He said, I did, but it's my request that if I could report a few more ahadith from you. And then Imam, once in a while, he faints. When he comes back, he says, Asbaf, are you there? He says, yes. Imam reports a short hadith, and then he reports another hadith. And then says, Asbaf, can I see your hand? He extends his hand. Imam says, open it. He opens it. Imam holds on to one of the fingers of Asbaq and says, Asbaq, it was once that Rasulullah, he called me. As you've come to visit me, he was ill, I came to visit him. He held my hand, he asked me to open it. He held my finger and then said, Ya Ali, you and me are the fathers of this nation. Whosoever has done good to you and me, Allah will be pleased with him. Whosoever has hurt you and me, Allah will be also displeased and will be hurt by that individual. And then Imam faints again. After a while, he comes back and says, Asbaf, are you there? He says, yes. And then he says, once Rasulullah, he reported to me, and that is, on the Day of Judgment, a pulpit, a minbar, will be made available, higher than every other pulpit that was ever raised and made, that wasn't given to any prophet, to any shaheed, to any noble or exalted person. And then says, the caller would say an address to the Holy Prophet to sit on the topmost seat of that minbar. And the next call would be to Amir al-Mu'mineen to sit on the topmost, one level lower than the Prophet. He would also be seated on that minbar. Two among the greatest angels of Allah will be instructed to come towards that minbar. And then when these two angels come to that minbar, says the first one will be seated a level lower than Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then he would say, those who know me, know me, and those who do not know me, I'll introduce yourself to me. Says, I am Ridwan, the gatekeeper of the heaven. And then the next one who will be seated another level lower than Rizwan says, those who know me, and those who do not know me, again, I will introduce myself, and I am Malik, the caretaker, the gatekeeper of the hell. And then says, mankind, and that hadith says that the entire creation of Allah will gather in that majlis, from among the foremost to the lastmost person present will be there. And these two angels would say, everyone be a witness. Rizwan says, the keys of the paradise have been given to me to be given to the Holy Prophet. And there Rasulullah says, hand them over to Ali. Malik does the same. He says, the keys of the hell have been given to me to be given to the Prophet. He says, give it to Ali. Says, that is Ali who is Qasim al-Nar wal-Jannah, that he is the distributor of the hell and the heaven. We have been honored by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to be enlisted among the followers and the Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And we ask Amir al-Mu'mineen on this night to accept us in his service, and with all shortcomings, wrong, evil we have done throughout our life, for all of that to be waived, to be forgiven, and for us to start a new start on this night of Amir al-Mu'mineen, on this night of Qadr, and for us to be turned back to our original default settings. Another night, salawat. The topic that has been selected for tonight is that, is there a phenomenon or a being that could be pure, sterile, clean from every aspect, from every dimension? And if there is a being in existence, the applicable of that being, who can that be? Looking at to Quran and the sayings of Ma'asumin alayhi wasalam, the pure and noble, the true applicable or the right applicable of this phenomena or being is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. An existence himself, all pure, all clean, dark from every aspect, his thoughts, his intentions, and even the toughest afflictions that were seen by Amir al-Mu'mineen, again we find that even the bitterest of them, who never polluted the thoughts, the performance of Amir al-Mu'mineen in whatsoever manner. His opinion regarding the existence of Allah, it's amazing. He says that the Almighty ارتفع عن ظلم عباده وقام بالقسط في خلقه وعدل عليهم في حكمه. That is, although Imam himself, he did not have an easy life, and the shaitans in all forms throughout the history, they worked the most to deviate, still his opinion regarding the existence of Allah is that he is an existence pure, just, and he deals with all his creations with justice. Quran also talks the same. You find the sayings and the opinions of Amir al-Mu'mineen exactly the same opinions and the sayings of the Holy Quran. Quran says that in this grand creation of Allah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا, that there is not even a little bit of an oppression and zulm in this entire creation. And again, in the existence of Allah, there is no zulm, there is no oppression. He is an entity, he is a being, an existence who is all adil and who is all just. Imam, he has the clearest and the purest and the most correct opinion about God and his actions. Quran says that whoever from among the mankind gives an opinion about Allah, about God, that will be an imperfect and an incomplete opinion. But that this opinion is given by someone who is mukhlas, mukhlasin. So Imam, he defines, he says that he is an existence who does the least zulm, the least oppression on his creation. The wrong, the shortfall, the problems, the afflictions which we see in our day-to-day life, it has nothing to do with God. It's something which we have created by our own selves, and the problems we see, the afflictions that come across once in a while, all that is due to our own performance. Allah never does anything wrong. Allah never does that. Allah, he doesn't do zulm, a little bit, a teeny weeny zulm also on anyone. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. It is man himself who does all the oppression on himself. Or in other words, it is man who avails all that oppression. Again, if you see Quran says that the date which we eat, the seed of that date, there is a tiny little thread on it which can hardly be seen with the naked eye.
Or sometimes in the seed of that date, there are tiny holes. Imam says Allah doesn't do zulm as tiny as that tiny hole on the seed of the date, not even that much. Now the benefit of such an opinion, Imam says that Allah is an existence all pure in every aspect. He has no zulm, no oppression to any of his creation. Now the benefit of this is that no one will complain in this world or the hereafter if he has that iman, that faith in Allah, that he never does any oppression or tyranny or zulm. The same thing can be seen in the performance of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day. On the day of Ashura, that we find, although as the day went towards the afternoon with all those afflictions and masaib downpouring on Abu Abdullah, we find that Imam, he is much more enlightened than the previous moment. Why is that? It's because it's of his faith that Allah never does any zulm. So much so that when he is knocked down and that Mal'un Shimr is seated on his chest, and the dagger of Shimr is on the throat of the Imam, again you find Imam, he is enlightened, says that Allah pleased with your pleasure. Ridhan bi ridhaq. Why is that? It's because of the same opinion which his father had, same opinion which he has, that Allah, he never does any oppression, any zulm to anyone. If you look into the viewpoint of Amir al-Mu'mineen regarding the commands of Allah, it's the same. The whole concept of Amir al-Mu'mineen stems from justice, ends with justice. Says Adala alayhim fi hukmih, in his commands too, only justice is seen, nothing else. Waqama bil qist fi khalqih, he governs and sustains all the creation with justice. That is, the wrong and the oppression, whatever we find, we see in this dunya, is of man himself, has nothing to do with Allah. Man, in the opinion of Amir al-Mu'mineen, again, that is amazing. Now, the opinion we have in the West today, in this 21st century, about man has no existence at all, or he has no value at all, or as they define today, that the lust which is present in man is the lust which was transferred to him from the monkey. Monkey is someone, an existence from where man has been evolved from, and is a monkey in reality. The difference in that, in the monkey then and the monkey today, is that the monkeys, they jump on the palm trees yesterday, now they jump into aeroplanes today. This is what they say. So Imam and his opinion regarding man, it's so great, says that a group during his time, self-wanting, self-worshipping, ignorant, the most dangerous disease in an individual, it's this kibr, ghurur, jahalat. That is why we are said that whenever we find that there is this pride growing in us, immediately correct it. We find that there is ignorance that has started to stem in us, immediately get rid of it. Otherwise, these diseases, if they grow in us, they will end up in us getting off track and ending in kufr. Now, these people who lived during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they saw his performance, they saw his justice, they saw his viewpoint regarding humanity, man. They are some those who tagged him as kafir. They are those who stood against him. They are those who fought him. They are those who killed him. Now Ibn Muljam, he wasn't an ordinary person. Worship of Ibn Muljam also was great. He worshipped a lot. He had all those marks on his forehead because of those excessive sajdas which he did. Because of that ghurur, because of that pride, because of all that ignorance, or because of finding himself better than any other person, better than Amir al-Mu'mineen, he stood against him, fights against him, and ends up in the hell. If we want to know who Amir al-Mu'mineen is, Quran, we believe the entire Quran is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Wow. Every verse of Quran is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Wow. Sir is Amir al-Mu'mineen. We find this, these huruf al-Muqatta'a, which are the opening of many of the surahs, 29 surahs in Quran, that is Amir al-Mu'mineen. That is why the phrase that has been made says that Siratu Aliyyin haqqun numsikuhu, that the path of Ali is haqq, and we cling to that path. From among the Sunni sources, they say 300 ayat from the 6,600 odd ayat present in Quran talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen. There is no second opinion. It is only and only for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Let's see what Rasulullah says regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, for Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has hundreds and thousands of sayings. I'll just quote one here. Says that man arada an yandura ila adam fi ilmih, whosoever wishes to see Prophet Adam and the knowledge which he possesses, wa ila nuhin wa fahmih, and whosoever wishes to see Nuh and his understanding, and Ibrahim and his tolerance, Yahya and Zakariya and their piety, Musa, his might, you want to see them? فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عَلِي إِبْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ, says that is, this is just one person who is like all of the prophets. Or the other hadith says that Amir al-Mu'mineen says that Allah sent Prophet Adam right up to Prophet Isa. Whichever prophet was sent, I was with them sirran. I was with them. But with the holy prophet, I was with him jahran. I was with him in the open. I was with the others in the hidden, as is for secret. That is Amir al-Mu'mineen. When it comes to the sinners, nights of Tawbah, nights of Qadr, great nights, and we have come to the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen, asking him to help us repent, for us to reduce the distance between us and our Lord, all the wrong that we have done. Ilahi, bihaqqi aliyyin, help us, forgive us, waive all that wrong that we have done. Imam says to the sinners, all those who have done wrong, says, don't lose hope. Because losing hope in Quran, it's a greater sin. وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ, that never lose hope with Allah. Because losing hope, it's the greater sin. In addition to the sins that a person has committed, in such a contaminated atmosphere of Kufa, with all that contamination and different thoughts present over there, Imam's slogan is that, don't lose hope, don't be in despair, Allah will forgive. Again, when it comes to the respect to human beings, the worst of my enemies, that is Ibn Muljim, when he, Imam, is hit, instructions given to his son are that he is not fasting. Hassan, send him some food. When the people of Kufa were informed that Imam's cure and medication is milk, there was a queue of people from among the people of Kufa, everyone having a bowl of milk. They wanted to give that, offer it to the Imam. Imam says, give it to Ibn Muljim. That is that performance of the Imam. Guidance to mankind, again, which we see in the performance of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's so pure and so sincere that after the battle of Jamal, he had won. Now those who win battles, it is as such, they celebrate. They give out all these sweets, candies, because they've won. Instructions of Amir al-Mu'mineen to each one of these winners is that, come and sit and cry on these dead from the enemy's side, when they should be celebrating. Comes and cries on these bodies who have fought the Imam himself, like a mother who's lost his son, says, I cry because you shouldn't have ended up like this. Your end was the paradise, the heaven. Why did you do something that you ended up in the hell? An Imam so kind, performance so kind, so pure in every aspect. Now, looking into the performance of Amir al-Mu'mineen and just looking into ourselves, how much do we try to resemble him? He wants to invite everyone, he wants to take everyone to the heaven, to the paradise. Quran says, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, that in swarms, in large numbers, in abundance, they want to take everyone to the paradise. Now we, with our performance, do we do that? Or God forbid, it is as such that يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, that we drive and throw people away from the path of Allah. So his view regarding dunya, again, it's so pure. We are said to be away from dunya. That is all those temptations, all those things that deviate us and put us away from the thinking and the thoughts of Allah. Now see how Imam defines this dunya. Says, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا دَارُ صِدْقٍ لِمَنْ صَدَّقَهَا, that it is a house of truthfulness for someone who accepts it as such. وَدَارُ عَافِيَةٍ لِمَنْ فَهِمَ عَنْهَا, and it is a house, an abode that would lead you to an afiyah, to a good end, but someone who understands that this dunya that we have come into, it is a path, a channel that would lead us to a good end. That is, from Allah we have come, to Allah we are returning. We are here on a transit period, and in this transit period we have to do something that we end up good. And that good end is afiyah. says وَدَارُ عَافِيَةٍ لِمَنْ فَهِمَ عَنْهَا. And this dunya is a house that will lead you to a good end if someone understands it. And then says وَدَارُ غِنًا لِمَنْ تَزَوَّدَ مِنْهَا. And this dunya, it is a house of riches. Riches, not gold and silver, dollars and pounds, no. Riches means that commodities, that possession which is needed and required for the hereafter, for that. تَزَوَّدَ مِنْهَا. Says that from this dunya you can benefit a lot so that you can have that asset in the hereafter in the best way. Further says that وَدَارُ مَوْعِذَةٍ لِمَنِ اتَّذَى بِهَا. And this dunya, it's a house of advice. You come to this dunya, see what's around yourself. Sometimes he says, go and visit the graveyards. Look at the graves that here people, those who are dwelling in those graves today, are those who lived on this planet. And where are they now? أَيْنَ الْمُلُوكُ وَأَبْنَاءُ الْمُلُوكُ. In one of those prayers he says, where are the rulers and the sons of all those rulers? Where are those riches which they possessed? Where are they now? Continues that مَسْجِدُ أَحِبَّاءِ اللَّهِ. That this dunya is the place of worship. It's the masjid of the lovers of Allah. وَمُسَلَّى مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ. This dunya is the prayer mat of the angels of Allah. This dunya is the landing strip of angels and revelations of Allah. This dunya, مَتْجَرُ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. It's the place of merchandise and business dealings of yours. And then says, اِكْتَسِبُوا فِيهَا الرَّحْمَةِ. That from this dunya, as much as you can, get that mercy. وَرَبِحُوا فِيهَا الْجَنَّةِ. And with that mercy that you will get and earn from this dunya, make your paradise available. Profit and benefit it with your paradise. Now, where do we find such pure thoughts regarding the existence of Allah, regarding humanity, regarding life, regarding living in this world, regarding enemies, regarding teaching, guidance? Nowhere. So the purest applicable in every aspect is Amir al-Mu'mineen. When it comes to his intentions, again it's amazing. That Rasulullah, he says that ضَرْبَةُ عَلِيٍّ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ. That on that battle of Khandaq, when Amir al-Mu'mineen was confronting the superpower of that time, the strongest person of that time, it so happens that he comes and spits at Amir al-Mu'mineen. He, being a young lad, 20 years of age, strong, he would have knocked him down. And he was about to. He turns away. His companions say that you were just right in front of Marhab. Why did you turn back? He says, he spat at me. And had I attacked him and killed him at that time, maybe my attack, there might have been an existence of Allah may not have existed in that shot of mine, in that striking of mine. Maybe because he hit me, I was enraged, I hit him. He wants that attack of his to be so sincere and pure, turns back, comes back again and hits it qurbatan ila Allah. And there Rasulullah says that that one strike of Amir al-Mu'mineen was better than the entire worship of everyone from the foremost to the lastmost. That one strike of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why? Because of that khulus, that sincerity which it possessed, and that is for the sake of God. Or else, again we find this sincerity of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that when Rasulullah, he is in danger, he sleeps in Rasulullah's bed, putting himself into danger. So that he dies, Rasul lives. Says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتَغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Ayah is revealed. Is there anyone else that who could put himself into danger for the sake of Allah? No one but Ali. So throughout his life, he was a support, a strong support, a sincere, pure support to Rasulullah. When it comes to worship, again, it's amazing. I'll quote a hadith from our fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Says that I came to My father, which is the fourth Imam, the title given to him is Sayyid al-Sajideen, Zain al-Abideen, meaning that he is the master or the chief of those who perform sajda. That is, that was a title given to him. Or Zain al-Abideen, meaning that the beauty of those who worship. That is someone who had worshipped so much that the title was given to him as such. Our fifth Imam says that I came to him, I saw him worship, cry, plead so much, I started to cry. He says, why? Says, with all this worship of yours, he says, go and get that folder from the other room. He brings the folder and says, now look at the worship which my grandfather, this is the fourth Imam saying regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen, had worshipped. Upon seeing that folder, that hadith, that report which was reported about the worship of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that this couldn't be a match at all. And in one of these battles, the physician, the age of Amir al-Mu'mineen is 23 years. He is wounded 90 wounds. One of these arrows that was shot on to him hit the nerve near to the bone, and the physician says that he is in so much pain that I cannot remove that arrow off him. Rasulullah says, wait till he occupies in salats. That when he starts his prayers, you can remove that arrow. Because at that time, Ali would never understand, never find out what's going on around him. He's so much drowned in worship. That is Ali. Just a brief introduction of this pure existence who was alive till today and is wounded. The afflictions, the masa'ib that downpoured on Ahlul Bayt after Rasulullah, just less than a day or the next day or the same day, is they come to this household of Wahi, attack the house. There the first incident, and that is Zahra salamullah alayha is wounded. And in her last moments, which is either she lived for 70 days or 90 days after Rasulullah, she passes away, and then she passes away in the laps of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then the message which Hazrat Amir gives to his children is that, don't cry loud. I don't want the neighbors to find out that your mother has departed. And then says to Hassan and Hussein, you help me out washing your mother. They bring water, he washes the body. A time comes that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he rests his head on the wall and starts crying. The children say, that wasn't as such that you said not to cry loud so that the neighbors, they don't find out. And then he says, what I saw is the arm of your mother, that she was beaten so badly with that. She is shrouded, laid to rest. That was the first tragedy that unfolds on Ahlul Bayt. And on a night like tonight, which is the 19th, the month of Ramadan, and Imam, every day he is a guest at one of his children's house, and tonight he is a guest in the house of Umm Kulsoom, his daughter. Comes to the house and he is restless. Umm Kulsoom says that, father, why are you so restless today? Once in a while, Imam goes to the window, to the door, and says that, wallah, it is this day, it is this day. The daughter, father is at her home. It's time for Maghrib. Says his Maghrib prayers. She brings some iftar for him. In a tray, some bread, some salt, and some milk. And says, father, it's time for iftar. He has a sharp look at his daughter and says, Umm Kulsoom, when did your father break his fast with two things? Take one away. She tries to take the salt away. He says, put that salt down, take the milk away. And that milk is taken away. He has a little morsel of food. And then once in a while he starts saying that Wallah la yakhdhibuha bidamiha idhin ba'atha ashqaha uridu hayatahu wa yuridu qatli, that this beard of mine, it will be soaked in my blood. I want him to live, he wants me to die. And then that night Imam is restless, has a little nap and says to Umm Kulsum, wake me up for Fajr. And then when it is Fajr and it's the time for the Adhan, Imam gets on to the Ma'zana, the place where Adhan is said. And there he recites, gives the call of the Adhan, and it was as such that the entire Kufa hears the Adhan, the last Adhan of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Comes to the mosque. There he sees this mal'oon asleep, sleeping on his belly. Imam says that, I know what your intentions are. Don't sleep on your belly. That type of sleeping is the sleeping of shaitan. Sleep on your right, or on your back, or on your left. And then Imam, he is heads off to say his prayers. When he is in his sajda, this mal'oon, he comes, strikes onto the head of the Imam, saying, لِلَّهِ الْحُكْمْ يَا عَلِي لَا لَكَ وَلَا لَي the ashabik, that this command belongs to Allah, not to you, O Ali, not to your companions. Saying that slogan, he hits the Imam. And there Imam says, Allahumma barik li al-maut, O God, make this maut, this death, Mubarak to me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. And then says, Bismillahi wa billah wa ala millati rasulillah. In the name of Allah, on the nation of Rasulullah. Fuztu wa rabbil Kaaba, that I prospered, and that is by the Lord of Kaaba. And then says, Minha khalaqna, that it is from this dust that we were created, وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ, and to that dust, to that clay we will return, وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى, and we will be raised from that dust, from that dirt, once again. Says, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, this is what Allah had promised, this is what His Rasul had promised. And then says, it is as such that Jibreel raises his cry, saying, تَحَدَّمَتْ وَاللَّهُ أَرْكَانُ الْهُدَى, that today the pillars of guidance, they shook. وَانْتَمَسَتْ أَعْلَامُ التُّقَى وَانْفَسَمَتِ الْعُرْوَةُ الْوُسْقَى, that strong rope of guidance, it broke. قُتِلَ ابْنُ عَمِّ الْمُصْطَفَى, that Mustafa's cousin has been killed. قُتِلَ الْوَسِيِّ الْمُجْتَفَى, and this wasi, this successor of Mustafa, who is Mujtaba, has been killed. قُتِلَ عَلِيٌّ الْمُرْتَضَى قَتَلَهُ أَشْقَى الْأَشْقِيَى أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إلهي بحق الزهرة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times يا الله 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 يا الله. Hasten the reappearance of our master, our Imam. Ya Allah, make it as such that we be enlisted among His true supporters and His true servants. Ya Allah, make this month of Ramadan among the best of the months which ever existed in our lives. Ya Allah, this Laylatul Qadr, give us the opportunity to perceive every moment of it and the nights that are forthcoming. Ya Allah, by the oppressed Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, by the hand of Zahra alayhi as-salam, Ya Allah, all those who are ill and ailing, grant them shifa. All those who have requested for dua, may their wishes be granted. Whatsoever hajat, whosoever present in this majlis, all those who have departed and have hopes in this majlis, a share of it be sent to each one of them, three loud salawats.